Cooper.
Hello and welcome to a special 24 hours of Student Power fill-in hosted by myself, Violet, and
Juliet. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Hunkamin and speaking Musqueam peoples.
Yeah, I wanted to bring you into the studio today, Juliet, because we are doing our 24 hours of student power event here at CITR, which is kind of exactly how it sounds. It's just 24 hours of entirely student-made programming. And I thought that you and I doing a fill-in would be really interesting because we're both students here at UBC.
Yes. Yeah.
But we are in very different faculties.
Yes.
And we talk about our classes and we talk about the different things that we study, and they're so vastly different.
Yeah.
And I don't have a ton of friends outside of my faculty necessarily. And it's a really good reminder that even though we're going to the same university, we're going to the same institution.
Yeah.
We're learning such different things and we're having such different experiences in the classroom.
Yeah, it's really true. I actually have a lot of friends who are outside of my faculty, mm-hmm. and that is on purpose. And that is because I'm in engineering. I'm a civil engineering student, and I love it, and I'm really happy to be studying it. But I think very naturally I gravitated towards people who are studying other things, particularly students in the arts faculty.
Yeah.
Because I get a lot out of being friends with people who study the disciplines that I also actually would love to study and in another life would have studied, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're almost kind of maybe a rare instance of that, where you have such a wide variety of interests and passions that, not to say other people don't have that outside of what they're studying or their faculty, but yours are just very broad and overarching, and you have like hobbies that maybe wouldn't be what you typically think of an engineering student doing in their free time.
Yeah, and that's what's fun about it. I think that I feel a bit like a snowflake, which I love. And then also, I think that, you know, there are a lot of engineering students who are kind of the classic engineer, very analytical, very focused on numbers and calculations and softwares, et cetera. But I've also found lots of people who have very diverse interests outside of school. I think the common thing that we have, we've all decided that this is worth actually an extreme amount of our time and energy. And I do find that a lot of students in engineering are very ready for careers as engineers, which I don't always relate to. And I think that's where I find a lot of enjoyment with my friends outside of the faculty, because not only do I get to learn through them vicariously a little bit, but there's also, I think, a bit less of a focus on their academic identity and then their also identity within their career, their future careers, which I'm not ready for all of that.
Interesting.
And not to say that it isn't important to people, I think it is, but the perception that I have is that students in arts and sciences tend to either, they're going to go do another degree, they're going to go do some postgrad or graduate school, or they're just doing a degree and they don't know at all what they're doing. Whereas engineering students tend to be ready to like go into the workforce and start working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super real. That's why I'm surprised to hear that that's not necessarily the place that you're in, because I think when I think of engineering and being an engineering student, it's like, oh, you get a job outside of university.
Yeah.
Like that's something that's next to guaranteed if you kind of are successful throughout your academic career. And then that's in such direct contrast to like arts. And like I study film studies and I'm a creative writing minor, and I do get the odd comment every once in a while, especially from people who are not in arts.
Right.
And also, honestly, people in arts who are just kind of making fun of ourselves, being like, you like, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
Like, you're not going to have a job when you leave university, which isn't necessarily true, but it may be true that I will not have a job outside of university that is like directly linked to what I've studied in school.
Right. And I think that's really interesting. And it really does pose the question of like you said, we're having such different experiences, because so much of my student life has been somewhat grounded in this like, yeah, and you'll have to use this, or you'll use a variation of this whenever you're in the field or whenever you're working. And that's really interesting, and it's a part of it that I enjoy sometimes. But I also love learning, and I kind of wish I could just learn things for the sake of it and learn things to expand my knowledge of the world and expand my knowledge of people. And that's why I have, mm-hmm. you know, friends in media studies programs, friends in psychology programs, friends in sociology and history programs, because they get to learn the stuff that I want to know. Mm. I also do wonder if I would still enjoy those subjects if I studied them as rigorously as is mm-hmm. expected in coursework that right. you take in when you're a student in arts.
Yeah, and that's a real concern, I would say, across the board, no matter mm-hmm. what faculty or program that you're specifically in. I think that a lot of students, unfortunately, get to a place in their third, fourth, fifth year where they really like start to lose the love mm-hmm. and passion that drove them to choose that program mm-hmm. initially, which is honestly really sad to see, yeah. especially because you're choosing that program fairly young if you're yeah. going into like university straight out of yeah. high school, or even taking a gap year in between as well.
It's too young.
It's super
it's
young.
So young.
And there's this financial cost mm-hmm. that comes with it. And mm-hmm. so to change majors in your third year is a big financial yeah. burden that you're going to take on, because you haven't fulfilled those prerequisites necessarily. You have all these new additional courses you have to bring on, yeah. and that's not an easy choice to make.
No, it's not. How do you feel in regards to that, in regards to the decision that you made at, you know, 18 or whatever?
Yeah. I think that I've had an enjoyable experience at university. I think that what I've come to realize is I chose film studies as a major and creative writing as a minor because I always had this passion for writing and mm-hmm. like creative writing, but I thought that that was not a feasible way for me to like make money and exist as a person in like capitalism.
Totally.
Like have
right.
a job and get paid enough to survive. And so that's why I just chose it kind of as a passion minor, and mm-hmm. then film studies as maybe a pathway to more practical career options. Mm-hmm. Although looking back on it, like, I don't even know what honestly, I have no idea what a film studies major gets to do outside of university, like what
right.
you're qualified to do, like teaching other film
yeah.
studies students or like writing the academic papers
yeah.
that we like read as students in film studies. Those are kind of the only things that I can think of, but
yeah.
honestly neither of those really interest me.
Right.
And what I realized by the end of my time here at university is like I think creative writing still is my passion.
Right.
And I think I tried to run away from that a little bit because it was scary. Like,
yeah.
I came into university, my favorite type of writing was poetry.
Right.
I was like, I'm not going to become a professional poet.
No.
But what I've realized through taking so many creative writing classes is that I found other types of creative writing
yeah.
that not only I love and am passionate about, but also I could have a career in it.
Totally.
Like, I absolutely loved specifically creative nonfiction.
Yeah.
And that was something I found through my classes as a minor.
What is creative nonfiction?
Yeah. So there are lots of different types.
Okay.
But like a very popular one would be like a memoir.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Or like a braided essay. So that would be kind of like some personal anecdotes,
mm-hmm.
some interviews, and some like research.
Cool.
And the interesting thing about, you know, creative nonfiction, and one of the versions of it that really appeals to me is kind of like creative journalism,
mm-hmm.
which is very similar to, well, it really is like a lot of what I do at CITR
yeah.
and on the radio.
Yeah.
And that's like a way of showcasing creative nonfiction.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that sounds like your podcast, which
yeah.
I don't know if you want to plug it right now.
Yeah, I mean, might have to. Yes, I do. I do a show here at CITR.
Yes, yes.
And it's called Therapy Hour, and it airs every other Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. And we're actually going to do a special live episode that, if you're hearing this live right now, you might have tuned in earlier to hear our special live episode where we played some fun games that aired at 10 to 11. So,
I'm really
yeah.
excited to hear that live episode. I really loved the other live episode you guys did.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's quite a different experience.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely is.
Anyway, that your description of creative nonfiction reminded me of that, because that seems to be exactly what you and Halle do yeah. in your show.
Yeah, and I think that it's something that I still get to have as a creative outlet mm-hmm. and something that I'm passionate about and something that excites me, mm-hmm. but also something that, like, I could get paid to do as yeah. a career, like, either as a podcaster or, like, written journalism.
Right.
Like, those are career paths, yep. which I think is, as an art student, isn't always something that you see and are excited by yeah. necessarily. And I feel like that is a distinct difference, at least from my perspective yeah. about, like, our two faculties.
Definitely.
And it's interesting, too, because I think that as an art student, I feel some judgment sometimes mm-hmm. from outside faculties when I say, like, I get nervous sometimes yeah. to tell people what I'm studying because I feel like people are going to judge me.
Yeah.
And I've gone out, like, on nights out, and someone asked me what I study. Yeah. I've said engineering yes. before. And I feel more empowered because you will sometimes be with me when I'm out.
Yeah.
And I say that. And then, like, you also say that yeah. you're a civil engineer. And I'm like, yeah. yeah. We're just some engineering girlies. Don't even worry about it.
It's so funny that you mentioned this piece of this judgment thing, because I remember in first year, this was already something that I was quite sensitive to. And I think having made very quickly a lot of friends in arts, and it being a time where you're introducing yourself so much mm-hmm. for the first time, really, where you have this new, like, title, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm a student of this faculty. Yeah. This is what I'm interested in. This is what my name is. It's like, those are the three pieces of information. Where are you from? What do you study? What's your name?
So true.
And I became very sensitive to the fact that there was sort of this sense of judgment around being an art student. And then on the other hand, still, every time I say that I'm a civil engineering student, unless that person is also an engineer, I get this, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
And there was a point where it made me really uncomfortable, and I decided to lie about being in engineering.
Really?
I didn't do it a lot, but it was a couple times, because it just, I know that it's not coming at anything mean or, like, rude or anything. No, not at all. Like, people are excited and encouraging. But being an engineering student, it is an important part of my identity, but it's not what I want the most important thing to be, and I feel like it very quickly becomes that, or it becomes my identifier, and that's not really what I want.
Yeah. That's so interesting. What did you lie to say that you were instead of engineering?
I think I said I was in psych.
No way.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I've definitely seen people give you that reaction before, yeah. which is very interesting to witness, and I could see how it would make you uncomfortable, but I think because I get a very different yes. reaction, I, like, feel a bit jealous. Like, yeah. I wish people were impressed. I mean,
yeah.
to be fair, sometimes people are interested in the arts, and they'll yeah. be like, oh, that's so cool. Like, what's that like? You know, do you have movie recommendations? That yeah. kind of thing. But I have seen it a lot for you where people are like, wow.
Yeah.
And I think especially being a woman. Yes. Like, and
woman in STEM.
Yes. Oh, say it like it is. and also, like, you dress very, like, fun and artsy, right, and, right. like, you're a very stylish person.
Thank you.
So, like, I think that you don't necessarily, like, fulfill what yeah. people expect an yeah. engineering student to look like.
Definitely.
Which is fun. Like, I
love
that.
Oh, it's by design.
That.
It's on purpose.
I love that about you. It makes you so cool.
Right, thank you.
Among other things, obviously. But
yeah.
it is interesting, the different reactions that we
yeah,
get.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, in first year especially, but over the years, I'm very defensive of my friends in arts. And I mm-hmm. really am the first to be like, well, come on.
I appreciate that.
Because I think that, you know, it just becomes very clear how we value certain things. And I do not think that's fair. And I do not think that the, like, perception that engineering students are quote unquote smarter is true at all. Mm-hmm. I think that there are certain subjects within engineering that are, like, very analytical and challenging. But also, I've tried to read philosophy papers before, and that is so much more
confusing
than anything I've done in my degree, to be honest with you.
Well, and I think we all have different, like, things that we find easier and more difficult. I would do so horribly in engineering, but I know, not necessarily you, but I think other people in your program would probably do really poorly taking my classes as well. Yeah. And that's okay. We don't have to all have, in fact, it's the best that we don't all have the same interests or skill set.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, we need that diversity of careers, you know? Like, so I'm glad that we can persevere and be friends.
Yes.
Friends across faculties.
Share company, share thoughts. I mean, I love hearing about what you've studied in class today or, like, what you've been learning lately. It's so fun and interesting to me, and then also just the novelty of it is really exciting.
Yeah, and I love hearing about your design projects and stuff, and we'll actually be getting into some of those details, but first we wanted to play some songs. Julia had a really great idea to play songs that made us think of the other person. So we picked out two songs. The song I picked out for Juliet was Diet Mountain Dew by Lana Del Rey, because it is, I had heard some older Lana Del Rey, but I wasn't super familiar with some of her newer-ish stuff. And I remember asking you once if you could send me, like, some of your favorites.
Oh.
And
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was one of the among, like, many, to be fair. But I really enjoyed this one, so I picked
really
it out.
That's really sweet. And then the song that I think reminds me most of you, I don't listen to it often, to be fair, but it's Orinoco Flow by Enya. And there was a period of time, I think pretty early on to when we met, where this was the only song Violet wanted to hear. And we would be at, like, ski and board parties or just, you know, the club.
Somewhere so inappropriate.
And you were just like, excuse me, DJ, please. I'm begging you.
And it was low-key a hit.
Yeah,
people loved it.
Yeah, yeah. When it played, people, like, broke it down. Like, people went hard.
Yeah.
Well, as they should. And you will know why when you hear it.
We'll be right back.
girl so pretty? Do you think we'll be in love forever? Do you think we'll be in love? Maybe stopping at 7-Eleven, wearing his white Pontiac Kevin. Do you think we'll be in love forever? Do you think we'll be in love? I love you, baby, New York City. Can we hit it now, low down and gritty? Do you think we'll be in love forever? Do you think we'll be in love? I love you, baby, New York City. Now is there ever a girl so
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
We're back. You're listening to a special fill-in for 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Violet, and I'm joined here with...
Juliet. Thank you for having me. It's really fun. I like being in the studio.
You have a great radio voice, I have to say, and you're articulate. You should really do more of this.
Well, this is what people have been saying to me. Actually, just one person. But I really...
Do you want to shout out that person?
Yes, that person was Halle.
Okay, great.
And Lauren, actually. Who works for CITR as well, who's my roommate. And then also recently I was seeing someone and they were like, you have a really hot voice. And I was like, maybe I should be on radio.
Maybe you should.
And then I actually thought about, like, oh, what would I want to talk about? And I think it would be really fun to do, like, a Woman in STEM podcast.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of women or feminine-identifying people in my faculty and also in other, like, fields of STEM, and it would be really... I think there are lots of different things that could be discussed, and then also it would be... like, if there had been a show that I had heard of when I was in first year, that would have been so fun to hear about, because I could also, like, plug different things, and I don't know. It's also just, like... my passion and a big part of my identity.
I feel like you have so much to say. You would have so many interesting guests to bring on. And it's a really unique thing, because I think CITR does attract more of, like, the artsy side of people. And so I think it'd be, like, a really unique perspective to have on air here.
Yeah.
So, well, I think you should do it.
Yeah, off air I'll have to talk to you about how I might go about that.
100%.
So we were just talking about our different degrees, and now we haven't really hung out in a while, so we're going to catch up on air, which I think will be really fun.
Yeah, when you pitched this idea, I was honestly a little bit nervous, because, I don't know, I just feel like my catch-ups with friends tend to be very, like, personal, and I'm, like, sharing details about myself and details about other people that I wouldn't necessarily want to have on air. But honestly, it's kind of a fun challenge to see what I am comfortable with sharing. And I feel like between the two of us, first of all, I think we have a lot to catch up on.
Yes. There's lots of, like, non-sensitive information that we
100%.
Can share.
Yeah. And so I'm interested to know what's been new with you.
Well, last week was reading break, and I did a really fun thing where I had so much to do, was super overwhelmed, did not do any of it, and also didn't relax. So I'm in
good.
A good spot. Yeah. And it's classic. It's a classic move for me. It is what it is. We're back into it. March is going to be a busy month, but... I did go on a date with this girl that I had matched with, like, a while ago.
That's exciting.
It was nice.
What did you guys do for your date?
She broke her foot, so she's on crutches.
Oh,
so I was
no.
like, why don't you just come over? We'll, like, have some snacks.
Fun.
It was daytime.
Yeah. Okay, good. Nice.
I wasn't trying to do anything. Yeah. It was very PG. I don't know. I guess for some people that might be a lot, but... I was just like, we had been talking for a couple weeks. I really just wanted to hang out with her.
Yeah.
So she came over. We had snacks. We chatted for, like, a while. I always forget that I can actually just talk at people and receive a lot of new information.
Yeah.
So we, like, and I didn't know a lot about her. So it was like, oh, where did you grow up?
Right.
Like, what do you do?
It's so interesting talking to a stranger because on the one side of things, I tend to freak out of like, what are we going to talk about? We don't know each other at all. But then I have friends who have reminded me in the past of being like, you guys don't know each other. You can talk about anything and everything. Yeah. Like all of that.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah. And I am a person who likes a lot of backstory. Like I like to know the origin story. So I'm actually down to spend like hours talking about that kind of stuff. And
does she have an interesting origin story?
She does. She grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. Yeah.
Whoa.
So that, and I was not expecting that, especially because, you know, she's very queer and very artsy. And just like, I mean, because she's left the witness life since being 18.
Church.
Right. She has left Jesus, unfortunately.
for you.
Exactly. It depends. It really depends. But she was really... really sweet. We had a nice time. Mm-hmm. We played the card game We're Not Really Strangers, she did bring it, and it has such good prompts. Like we only got through like four or five cards because you talk for like 5-10 minutes after each one, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And there were questions I never, well, obviously would never think of asking, but also it was really interesting to have to think about how I perceive this person, and then to also get to hear how they perceive me, and to get to ask more questions about how I'm being perceived, which is actually all I want to know ever.
That's very relatable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle it. I guess if you're on a date with someone, they're probably perceiving you pretty positively, at least to begin with.
Right. One would hope.
Yeah. if you're doing everything right, I guess.
Yeah.
But, so are there different levels? I've kind of played it before, but not really very much. Are there different levels of kind of intensity of the questions, or is it just random?
There are, and we only got through like a couple cards in the first round. So what I wanted to tell you, because I thought you'd find it interesting, is that after we had a really nice time. We kissed a little bit at the end. That was really nice. I sent her home in an Uber because she can't walk. And
I forgot about the broken foot.
Right, the crutches and all. And then afterwards, like for a day or two after, I was just like, logic brain was like, oh, that was nice. Would like to see this person again. Emotional brain was like, and I don't think I'm going to talk to her for a bit. And I feel weird, and I feel like she likes me more than I like her. Mm. And that is really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Just found myself feeling like very avoidant, which is not surprising for me, but it's always fun when it comes up and I'm able to notice it, and I'm able to be like, oh, this is how I am. I forget.
Yeah. Is that still how you're kind of feeling about it?
No.
Okay. Things have shifted.
Yeah, I powered through.
Oh, good.
I'm going to see her again. Like, nice. I don't know. I think that I'm not particularly trying to get into a relationship, which I think is always like a challenge for me, and where a lot of my avoidance comes from is I do generally feel very emotionally unavailable. And I am, kind of.
But I've been thinking so much about kind of this dating gray zone of like not wanting commitment, not wanting a relationship, but still kind of wanting to like have crushes and pursue them and see people and maybe even have some like physical intimacy.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to know where any particular relationship falls within that gray zone. What you be in touch with what you actually want, and also have that person be in touch with what they want.
Yes.
Like having
and then be able to communicate those things, which actually rarely happens properly.
Like having all of those boxes checked are just so difficult.
Yeah.
So it makes me want to almost disengage entirely from any of that, because I'm like, I don't feel comfortable or know how to navigate this.
No.
And I don't want to get hurt, and I don't want someone else to get hurt.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because those gray zones are like so much of dating.
Yeah.
I think in my experience, I've just always been like really into people and just been like, I'm so open and ready for commitment. And it's very unusual for me to be in the place that I'm in now where I'm not looking for that and not desiring that. Mm-hmm. But then it's like so much more confusing to be outside of that.
Totally. And I think what's hard for me is not, it's like the other side of the coin where I have so much capacity and so much like love to give and an emotional, I think, maturity, but I'm not really able to readily offer that, because I feel like so much of the rest of my life is very busy. I think the biggest thing is, like, I don't really want my life to change significantly, but I do want emotional and romantic and physical intimacy. And so it's really hard to, like, open myself up when I know that it will change things and I will have to shift and adapt.
That's the reality of kind of integrating this person. Like, if you are making a commitment to them, integrating them into your life is you are committing to spending more time with them, volunteering to fulfill their needs, asking them to fulfill your needs, because knowing that you deserve that. And that is a big shift in your life. And you are an extremely busy person. And I could see you looking at your schedule and being like, just practically, I don't have room or space for a relationship right now.
No, but I mean, I think it's the kind of, it's something that I have to decide if I want to make time and space for. And I think that I do, but I also, I'm not in a rush. And I think that's important for me to communicate, is like, I would like to see you, whatever, but like, I can't, I need to go slow. And I think that's true both in terms of like my time and energy availability, and also in terms of like my emotional availability. Because that's a lesson I learned in my last relationship, is like, I can dive in head first, I will hit the bottom of the pool, and I will need to leave. In a stretcher.
Call the ambulance.
Please.
I need help.
So that was...
Well, it's all a learning lesson, really.
It is. It is forever, I think. And I'm a good learner, so...
You sure are. You were just saying you love to learn.
I do. So I sure do.
It's only right. I've been helping a few friends through some breakups recently. And it's been a very interesting experience, especially... in the space, the headspace that I'm in right now in terms of relationships, where I'm just like, why would you want to be in a relationship?
Which
is so bad and dumb and who does that anymore? That's a thing of the past.
Definitely not you, which is shocking, actually, given like where you've been since I've known you. And it's fun. It's like, it's a nice hat for you to be wearing.
I don't even recognize myself, honestly. And it just happened so abruptly. I feel like I literally feel like I woke up one day and I was like, I don't want or need this anymore. And I was just talking to a friend about how, because it was a goal that I had set for myself. And I had actually like talked, Juliet and I have the same therapist.
Shout out.
fun little anecdote for y'all. But I was talking to our therapist about setting a goal of how long I was going to, like, commit to being single.
Okay.
And the goal that we had set for myself was just until the new year, so 2022. Okay. And then the new year came and went, and I was like, I don't want to. I thought I'd be struggling, like, waiting for January to come around and be like, oh my God, like, please, can I get back in a relationship? Because that's just what I'm used to. That's what I'm comfortable with. But, like, we're deep into February and I don't have any interest really still. And I don't, I mean, I kind of know what happened. But also, I don't really know what happened, because it's just so not like me. And I thought that, again, I was talking to another friend about this over reading break, actually. And I was talking about how I've honestly been kind of impressed with myself in a weird way. Because I thought that I would really struggle with, like, independence and self-confidence and, like, all of these things that you would think I was getting from these relationships. And, like, obviously I've had my ups and downs, but... it wasn't this, like, dramatic thing that I thought it might be, that I might have to, like, suffer through.
I find that super interesting, because you and I have talked about independence, and I am toxically hyper-independent, I would say. Maybe a bit less so these days. And I would say that you have expressed a very opposite feeling of, like, feeling very dependent on your relationships and feeling a discomfort with that. So I'm really curious about that, and particularly about... like, what that feels like day to day. Like, do you, is it something that you're aware of, this, like, this self of, or this sense of self-fulfillment or, like, independence? Or is it something that you notice at different points?
I think that taking myself out of this consistent pattern in my life forced me to realize and, like, look more objectively of what that pattern was and mm-hmm. how I was existing in that pattern. Like, one of the big things that I was just thinking about recently is the fact that, like, when I was in relationships, pretty much at all times I had someone, A, who, like, knew what I was doing, mm-hmm. like, knew what I was up to, knew what my plans were, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, and was deeply interested in mm-hmm. it. And wanted to, like, be involved right. in my life consistently, like, wanted to be a part of those plans or wanted to hear how my day was or whatever. And I still have that with friends, but it's yeah. not the same as a partner.
No.
And so that's been something that I've been sitting with of, like, nobody knows what I'm doing today and
yeah.
potentially no one cares.
Right.
But I think that's been good for me. It's like, yeah. I need to care about what I'm yes. doing today. I need to just, like, exist.
Yeah.
And if other people want to, like, ask me about it and seem genuinely curious, like, I can let them in on that. And I am lucky to have a very strong friend group
yeah.
and, like, very strong, like, friendship relations where they do care about what I'm up to and whatever and ask about it.
Yeah.
But, again, it's not quite the same as that partnership.
No.
Being in tuned and, like, being really attached and connected to yeah. your life.
Yeah. And that, yeah, that is interesting because I also feel, I think, that sense of, like, maybe I want to tell people what I'm up mm-hmm. to and maybe I want people to, you know, like, yeah, have that attention to what I'm spending my time doing. And that comes up sometimes. It comes yeah. up when I'm feeling more insecure, more lonely, and I haven't been noticing that lately. But I also have never had a partner in which I've felt that interest and that, like, desire. Like, the relationship that I was in that didn't really provide that. And knowing me, I think actually I might find it a little bit suffocating.
Yeah. I could see that. And I think, like, that's super valid.
Yeah.
But it's just not how I felt because
no.
I was just so used to it.
Yeah.
But now taking myself out of it, I do feel like if I re-entered it right now, maybe later on down the line mm-hmm. I'll feel differently. But right now I think I would feel that suffocation. Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's not that everything's just been easy. Like,
no.
some parts of this have been uncomfortable. But, like, I've been surprised by how quickly I've adjusted to not only, like, accepting, like, this goal that I've set mm-hmm. for myself, but, like, actively, like, wanting it and, like, refusing mm-hmm. other options or, like, mm-hmm. ways out when I've had them.
Yeah.
Necessarily, which is very interesting.
It is interesting.
And not what I guess I expected for myself. And I think, too, it's allowed me to be, like, more critical and also process some of my old relationships
yeah.
in a way that I haven't always been able to do because
yeah.
I've swiftly, like, moved on to the next relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be really good for me once I do re-enter into a relationship where
yeah.
I'll just be able to be, like, more picky, honestly,
mm-hmm.
with my next partner,
mm-hmm.
which is really going to be good for me, I think.
Awesome.
I think I've settled for less than I've deserved on a number of
yeah.
occasions.
Yeah. That's great. I'm excited to see how that goes. We started talking about this because you mentioned that you're helping some friends through some breakups.
Yes.
And I can imagine that is hard, obviously, because you care for these people. And I'm also, so I'm wondering how that has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also wondering if it's made you think about, like, your most recent breakup or, like, obviously relationships in general. But if that's been hard for you at all.
I think it's been hard because I've gotten really frustrated with hearing some of my friends' situations
mm-hmm.
that, like, these are, like, really strong, interesting, like, beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
And they are accepting treatment that is
mm-hmm.
far less than they deserve. And I think that they are quite clouded in their judgment
mm-hmm.
of what's happening. And I have a very different perspective. And I do wonder, like, what my perspective on it would be if I was still kind of in that, like, serial monogamy
mm-hmm.
pattern.
Totally.
And if it would be different, it's hard to say. But in particular, I've been noticing with these two situations that I'm thinking of is that these are both, like, heterosexual relationships
mm-hmm.
that are splitting up or have split up. And in both cases, the man is kind of, first of all, the man's older
mm.
and both of the men are like going through some sort of identity crisis mm-hmm. or have messed up in a way. Mm-hmm. And they're telling their now ex-partner that they need to work on themselves, mm-hmm. that they need to do all this growth, that they have all these goals for themselves, and kind of asking for the woman to like wait on the other end of things until they figured their stuff out. And it's been so frustrating to hear because it makes me wonder about how many relationships that have this, like, not to say that the women in these relationships are like perfect, flawless, mm-hmm. don't have any growth to do themselves. But I do wonder about this like dynamic where the man is like, oh, like I need to do these mm-hmm. things. I need to grow. Like, and both these men are telling the women that they're very inspired by the people that these right. women are. And it makes me wonder as well about my own relationships that I've had in the past with men of saying like, I need to mature, I need to do this growth, mm-hmm. and can you just kind of stick by my side mm-hmm. while I figure it out? And I think that that pattern is making me realize that maybe that is a very real pattern in yeah. a lot of heterosexual relationships, yeah. where women are willing to be such nurturing, caring, mm-hmm. patient partners. Mm-hmm. And again, they're doing that by their own free will, but mm-hmm. I think that there are some very real gender dynamics going yeah, on there.
Definitely.
And I had reread my journal a little while ago, and I talked about my, like, one of my fears being mm-hmm. that, like, as I was starting to kind of realize these patterns of serial monogamy mm-hmm. in my life and wanting to break that, I was wondering if part of men's attraction to me is my willingness to be patient and be nurturing yes. and be like a mom.
Yeah.
Like literally be yeah. a mother.
Yeah.
Which is such a gross thing to yes. like start to realize yeah. and like come to terms with. Like yeah. I don't want that to be the case.
No. But it's also, I think, a bit inevitable given the way that we raise our children, the way that we socialize boys versus girls. And obviously we're talking in very gendered terms, but I think that's appropriate given the way that we end up experiencing a lot of these things, whether you're femme identifying mm-hmm. or not, if you've been socialized as a woman from a young age, you learn to make yourself small and you learn to make room for other people and you learn to be empathetic and attentive and to actually value other people's needs mm-hmm. over your own and respond to them. And I think that noticing that pattern in yourself and in others is very, very powerful. It, however, does not mean that things change all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. All that happens is you start to notice it everywhere and then you get kind of angry.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, and that was a big thing that I like talked about with our therapist mm-hmm. as well, is just like going back in, on my relationship history and really starting to be critical about what was I getting out of those yeah. relationships? Like, what was it giving me? Like,
yeah.
and I think that I sometimes in some of the relationships was struggling with how to answer that question.
Totally.
And I don't think I would put some of my friends on the spot like that
right.
with some of their relationships, because I think if they're not asking for that, then they don't need to hear it. But
right.
I have heard about some friends' relationships as well, where I do wonder, what are people getting out of it? Like, is it truly mutually beneficial in the way that you would want a healthy relationship to be?
I think that's the most important question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what relationships are. They're dynamics in which we have our needs met and we meet others' needs. Like, regardless of what that relationship, what form it takes or, like, what the label is or whatever, that's what it is. And I think that the biggest thing that I learned from our therapist when I was going through my breakup last summer was, this person cannot meet your needs.
Yeah.
They are showing you that time and time again. That's just information for you to have. You make your decisions as you wish.
Yeah.
But I've been able to use that framework since, and it's yeah. really, really valuable. Of like, it can this person meet my needs? Will I allow them to meet my needs? Because mm-hmm. that's an issue I have. Is actually, doesn't even matter if you can or not. I'm not going to let you.
Right.
You don't even get the
<Don't>
chance.
<try. laughs>
And I think it's interesting that that's not a question that you want to ask your friends, because as your friend, if I were in a position where that is the thing that I'm sacrificing the most, that might be the most important question for someone to ask me. I also understand, like,
Yeah, I just have it's such tricky. Sensitivity with sticking my nose mm-hmm. where it doesn't always belong in terms of romantic mm-hmm. relationships with friends, because I have been in situations mm-hmm. where one false step and that person's not my friend anymore mm. and they will always choose their relationship yeah. over their friends, no, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you know, sometimes it's worth it to do that, just to be that voice in yeah. that person's head. And if it's, like, you know, our relationship's falling apart anyways and I see you in a very toxic relationship and I'm just going to
right.
do this
right.
and
right.
throw it against right. the wall, and if it doesn't stick, it doesn't stick. Right. But it's not always worth it.
No, you're right.
And yeah. these relationships of my friends who are kind of going through breakups that I'm dealing with right now, one of them is maybe a little bit less healthy mm-hmm. than the other, but for me, it's not. First of all, they're both kind of ending.
Okay.
So, like, there's not much at this right. point. Anyways, I guess the only thing would be talking to my friends about whether or not they want to stick around for these yeah. men. And I think that's a real thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would frame it necessarily in this way of, what are you getting out of it?
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think sometimes when you're still in it, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to know always, again, what you're willing to get out of it and what you want also. Mm-hmm. It's often very intangible.
Yeah. Well, we have two more songs that we're going to play before we wrap up today.
Yes.
So do you want to introduce the first song?
Yes. So the first song is Basement Jack by Steve Lacy. I remember Steve Lacy being the first artist that I think we shared an interest for, but at the time I only knew his EP and you were like, no, his new album's awesome. And it actually took me like probably another year to like properly listen to it. But this song is one that I listened to and I was like, oh, all right. Oh,
it's such a groovy one.
Yeah,
I love
so
it.
Good.
And then the second song that we'll be hearing is Rockstar by Post Malone.
Yes.
Which mostly just, well, I know you're a big Postie fan.
Yes, huge Post Malone fan.
But specifically Rockstar, I associate with you because Juliet and I and a few of our other friends had like a drinking game showdown. It's called Civil War,
oh,
the drinking
yeah.
game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
we, it was Halloween weekend during the pandemic and it was yeah. just a small group of us. And we got together and we decided to all like team up and then dress up to a certain theme.
Yeah.
And Juliet and her partner, our yes. friend Sasha, dressed up as Post Malone because they're big Post Malone fans.
Yes.
And then we played everyone like a little intro song
yes.
depending on what their theme was to dress up as. And so we played Rockstar by Post Malone.
It was a good moment.
I have a really great video of it. It's really fun.
Oh, we should watch that after this.
Yeah, we should. We'll be right back.
Love me like you. Ride me like you. Just remember, I've been out there. We don't have a problem. Deep and born in summer, and it's all meant to solve them. I've been in the summer, fucking with women. I've been in the sun, and there's something to say. Some, and we don't have a problem. Deep and born in summer, and it's all meant to solve them. I've been in the summer, fucking with women. I've been in the sun, and there's something to say.
smoking like a Rasta. Fucking with me, call up on no Uzi and show up, man, them the shotas. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that tango grata tata. Hey, hey, switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying recipes to Banska. Hey, close that door, we blowing smoke, she asked me light a fire like a Marsan. The fool on stage, probably leave my fucking show in a cop car. Ay. Shit was legendary through a TV out the window of the montage. Cocaine on the table, liquor porn, don't give a damn. Dude, your girlfriend is a groupie, she just tryna get in. Saying I'm with the band. Ay, ay. Now she acting out of pocket, tryna grab up on my pants. 100 bitches in my trailer, say they ain't got a man. I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on the Uzi and show up, man, them the shotas. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that tango grata tata.
I've been in the hills, fucking superstars, feeling like a pop star. Drinking Henny, bad bitches jumping in the pool and I ain't got on no bra. Hit her front or back, pulling on the tracks and now she screaming out no more. They like Savage, why you got a 12 car garage and you only got 6 cars? I ain't with the cake and how you kiss that. Your wifey say I'm looking like a whole snap. Green honey's in my safe, I got old racks. LA bitches always asking where the coke at. Living like a rock star, smash out on a cop car. Sweeter than a pop tart, you know you are not hard. I done made the hot chart, remember I used to chop hard. Living like a rock star, I'm living like a rock star.
I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on the Uzi and show up, man, them the shotas. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that tango grata ta ta.
Thank you so much. You are still listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And this has been our special, special Friends Across Faculties fill-in. I almost said Fun Drive fill-in. It's not Fun Drive anymore.
No, it's 24 hours of student power.
Yeah, it is. we hope that you enjoyed.
Yes, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I feel like we caught up.
We kind of did. There's always more
to
say.
There's more. There's a lot more.
Maybe we'll do another Fun Drive.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying Fun Drive? Maybe we'll do another fill-in sometime.
Yeah.
And we can catch up. Some more. Yeah. Maybe we should make it a thing where we only catch up on air.
I will never know what's going on with you.
Yeah, true. I will keep a lot of secrets from you.
Oh, no.
But yeah, enjoy the rest of your entirely student-led programming that is happening for the rest of the 24 hours today. And be sure to go onto our website and listen to some of the podcasted episodes that played previously in the day. And we love you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi.